Hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Bengals Booth Podcast, more specifically, the NFL Draft Preview Edition. I'm Dan Hoard, along with the 61st pick in the 1974 NFL Draft, an offensive lineman out of Syracuse University, Dave Lapham. Lap, the 74 draft featured five Hall of Famers, four taken by the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jack Lambert, Mike Webster, Lynn Swann, and John Stallworth, one taken by the Raiders, tight end Dave Kasper. And we've talked about this before, but for those who have never heard you describe it, describe your draft day experience as a third rounder back in 74.
Well, yeah, Dan, there was no ESPN. That was the first year of the World Football League. The NFL, every NFL team was calling every player or agent or whoever it may be and asking if that player had agreed to terms with the World Football League or if they were thinking about it or whatever the case may be. So that draft took a long time, and there were 17 rounds to the draft back then, and it was late in the afternoon, and I thought, well, I didn't get drafted. You know, I mean, it was almost into the early evening, really, and I kept calling the Syracuse newspapers and trying to track what was going on, but it was not big news. I mean, it was slow-moving news in terms of what was happening in the draft, and then I finally got a phone call, and the first phone call I got was the Cleveland Browns. And the Cleveland Browns picked the phone up, and they said, this is Cleveland, going to take you with our next pick. I said, next pick? What round is it, the 17th? They said, no, it's the third round. You know, we haven't even gone through 60 picks yet. And I'm like, really? So they said, we're going to take you with our next pick. I'm like, okay. So I thought I was going to Cleveland. And then I get the phone call with the 61st pick, and when I picked the phone up, I was like, hey, Cleveland. They're like, there's Tiger Johnson. Said, don't ever say that word again. He said, this is Cincinnati Bengals. We just took you with our 61st pick. We want you to come out here tomorrow. And I'm like, ah, oh, great. So it was kind of crazy. It was such a different environment and atmosphere than it is now. Now it's a TV spectacle that draws huge ratings.
Ed Tuttle Jones, the number one overall pick of your draft, and you mentioned 17 rounds back then. One of the 17th rounders was Yogi Berra's son, Tim, taken in the 17th round by the Colts. All right, turning to this year's draft, you have been something of a soothsayer in recent years. Back in 2012, when it was widely perceived that the Bengals would take David DeCastro, you correctly said they'd go for Kevin Zeitler instead. 2013, everybody seemed to think it was going to be a safety. You said very early, Tyler Eifert. Last year, you were all over Cedric Obwehi despite the torn ACL in his final college game. So, let's get right to it. With the 24th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select.
I'm going to say wide receiver Fuller out of Notre Dame because of I think there are three guys that they would take at that wide receiver position with the 24th selection. But I think the other two will be gone. You know, I don't think they'll still be there. There's going to be a run right around that spot once you hit into the 20s. And if I'm the Bengals, I don't necessarily trade up for, say, Doxson, if he's the guy that I have, you know, as my number one in that 1C group that I'll call it in the first round toward the end of the first round. You know, and then you look at Coleman out of Baylor. A very, very talented player as well. He may be gone. So Fuller may be the only one of those three receivers that fit into that grouping. And Fuller, he provides something unique in that 4.29 speed. You know, he's over 6 feet tall, but he's only 180 pounds, so he hasn't spent a whole lot of time in the Notre Dame weight room. But he is unbelievably fast. He plays at a very, very high gear. You know, has been compared favorably to Deshaun Jackson's type of speed when he was in college, and that projected well to the National Football League. Plus the fact, Dan, not only his speed, he's a good route runner. He has a good concept of sinking his hips and getting in and out of routes, and intelligent guy, obviously, so a very, very competitive guy as well. I think that would stand him in good stead. And the reason that I say the wide receiver at that spot, there'll be other people in that the Bengals would be happy with. There'd probably be half a dozen guys they'd be happy with at that 24th selection. But once you go into the second, you know, third and fourth round, there's only like a couple of players in each round, and maybe even only one candidate at the wide receiver position. So it gets very skimpy. There's only, you know, four candidates in the next three rounds. So that tells me, get the receiver when you can, and then address, you know, the other needs maybe on the defensive side of the ball, since it's so defensive heavy in those second, third, and fourth rounds, or second, third rounds anyway.
All right, let's say that all three of those guys are gone: Fuller, Doxson, Coleman. Do they go defensive line? There are a lot of defensive tackles in this draft. Might they go cornerback? They're getting a little bit thin in that area.
Yeah, you know, I think defensive tackle is so deep that I'm not sure that they'd spend the 24th pick on the draft at defensive tackle as opposed to a good corner, because, you know, the way the league is now, the space players are more valuable. And, you know, one thing that, as we know, Dan, every single press conference during the course of the season, the opposing offensive coordinator head coach would say, oh, the Bengals secondary, heck, they have five former first-rounders. I mean, they're loaded back there. They're stacked. They're stocked. Well, that's not the case anymore. It's been eroded, depleted a little bit. So I could see them going with a cornerback with that first selection at 24. Jackson out of Houston, Apple out of Ohio State potentially would be a couple. And the other reason being, the defensive tackle, unless he's a Geno Atkins pass rush type guy, he may come off the field. He may play 30-35% of 30 year snaps, whereas a cornerback, you know, you're going to play four and five cornerbacks a lot. A good cornerback's going to play minimum 60% of your snaps, so he's going to double, you know, that number of snaps on the field. So you look at that, what am I getting out of the guy? Special teams possibilities, snaps in the you know, sub packages if he's not a starter. I think that's why they'd probably lean toward going cornerback if they don't go wide receiver.
And that's because the base defense isn't on the field as much as it used to be in this passing era, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a lot of players now are sometimes one down, first down players, maybe first and second down. And then if it's second and long, you're a one down player. They're going to sub packages. Third and medium to long, they're going to the sub packages. So, yeah, it's the term starter anymore in the NFL is very much a misnomer, because sometimes these sub package players end up playing more snaps than the starters do.
Historically, the Bengals have not traded up in the draft. They've done that very infrequently in their history. This is a year where they don't have extra picks. In each of the last 3 years, they've had two extra compensatory picks because of free agents lost. They don't have any this year. Do you see them moving down to acquire extra picks? And if so, when would they consider doing that?
Yeah, I would not see them moving up for the reasons that you said. You don't want to give picks away. I think Seattle, the Bengals, the Patriots in years past have accumulated picks. And, you know, the good thing about, better to have nine picks than seven. I mean, the more picks you have, the better chance you have of accumulating more football players. Just simple math. You know, if you just have a pick each round, you have to hit on that guy. If you have multiple picks in a round, you know, you spread your chances out for success, because there's not a huge gap between, you know, your fifth round pick at 20 whatever and the compensatory pick, which would be like 33. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not the case this year. So I don't see them giving up any of those valuable picks. I mean, if they move up, they're giving up a fourth rounder. And over the years, Geno Atkins, Robert Gathers, you know, couple of Georgia players, you can come up with a laundry list of guys that they wouldn't have had in those particular drafts if they had done that. So I see them holding on to their picks. Now, there is a possibility that, you know, quarterback-centric league that this is, that teams start to call, you know, the Bengals and teams behind the Bengals, maybe even a little bit ahead of the Bengals. Once you get into the 20s, I want to move up into that late first round and get my quarterback before somebody else does that I know wants to go quarterback at the a little bit later in the first round. And the reason that they would do it, rather than take him high in the second, move up to late in the first, is they get the fifth year of that rookie contract. Instead of a four-year deal, it's a five-year deal like the Bengals.
For first-rounders.
For first-rounders, only like the Bengals just exercised with Tyler Eifert. And then you get a chance to develop, you know, that quarterback for another year. And at a bargain price, potentially, if he's close to being a starter. So I could see teams doing that to position themselves in that area, and maybe the Bengals will get a phone call in that regard, and I could see them moving down in a case like that.
We get to go into the war room on Monday, so not all of the information is still up on the walls at that point, but we do get a little bit of a sense of, you know, how the board looked and so forth. And what the Bengals will do with the 24th overall pick is literally right 1 through 24. They will have their order up until their pick, and they will not get the 24th guy. They're going to get somebody much higher just because of how teams pick. So Tyler Eifert was on the in the top 10 on their board. Darqueze Dennard was in the top 10 on their board, and they got him in the 24th spot. So however that board is ordered, they're going to get a guy much higher than they've projected as the 24th best player in this draft.
No question, Dan. And what the Bengals have done a good job of is exactly that when they put the board together this year for 1 through 24. Well, you know, not going for the queen of the prom, you're going for the guy that fits your schematic perfectly, and not what other people say, draft gurus and experts, it's a cottage industry, and they're just picking guys based on athletic merit or, you know, combine drills or whatever, and that's part of the equation. But does this player's skill set fit what you're doing, what you're running offensively, defensively, special teams, schematic, the X's and O's of it? And the Bengals have done a great job of getting their scouts and their coaches on the same page. The coaches are telling the scouts, this is what we're doing. This is the type of player we want to have. In so doing, you guys, let's go find them. And they're on the same page now. Instead of in the past, it was the scouting department had one opinion, coaches another, management another. Now they're all in one concert, one voice, and it's led by Duke Tobin. He's the orchestrator of the single voice. And they've done a great job of staying true to their board. And there will be somebody that nobody knows who it's going to be, but somebody will be there at 24. We're on the Bengals board. They're going to be like, are you kidding me? We had him at 14. Well, I don't care who it is. We're taking him. And it's proven to be a good strategy for him. So until that board starts to unfold, we won't know exactly who that's going to be.
But on the Bengals Booth podcast, Dave Lapham says the Cincinnati Bengals select Will Fuller, wide receiver, Notre Dame. We'll find out Thursday night. Thanks, my friend.
You got it, Dan. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to the Bengals Booth podcast.